Well, amen. Open your Bibles to Psalm 100. Y'all found your place? Let's stand together. Psalm 100 and verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's our choir's motto, by the way. Verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. We're going to focus our attention on verse 2 this evening. Serve the Lord with gladness. I want to speak to you tonight on what is it going to take to serve God. It is interesting to do a search through the Bible and see how many times the Bible summarizes our responsibilities to God as our service. Our service. In other words, all of my obligations, my worship, my obedience, my honoring God, my tithes, my offerings, my attendance to worship, all of these things are often summarized under serving God. For example, I'll give you some examples of this. In Exodus, God told Pharaoh to let His people go that they might serve Him. And in Exodus 10:8, Pharaoh told Moses and Aaron, go, serve the Lord your God. And He said that several times in the book of Exodus, go and serve the Lord your God. You see, even the Egyptians understood that their gods did not serve them, they served their gods. And so it was obvious even to this heathen that if these are the people of the Lord, they should go and serve Him. Not that God should come and serve them, but that they should go and serve the Lord. In Exodus 23:25, it says, you shall serve the Lord your God. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, it says, now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. In Joshua 24:15, a very familiar passage. Of course, Joshua said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. That's always seemed strange. Why would anyone think that it is evil to serve the Lord? And yet, obviously, many come to a point in life and say, you know what? Serving God is not for me. I'm not doing this. And they turn to serve other things. We're always going to be serving something. Some people are serving mammon, some people are serving sin, some people are serving themselves, and some of us choose we're going to serve God. And that's what Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, we will fulfill our obligations and obedience to God. A lot of folks have that verse on their front door, but if they're not active members of a local church, they're not really serving the Lord. Amen. In 2 Chronicles 33, it says that when Manasseh tried to, after he got right with God, it says he repaired the altar of the Lord and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Revival for Judah meant getting back and serving, actively serving the Lord God. In Psalm 2, it says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. In Matthew 4:10, when Satan tempted Jesus to fall down and worship Him, Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. In John 12:26, Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, let him will my Father honor. Boy, don't we think that we just go through life and go through our agenda and our plans, and we just expect Jesus to just kind of tag along with us. But Jesus said that I'm the master, you're the servant, you're to follow me and serve me. I don't follow you and serve you. Well, that's how mixed up we are in our thinking about the Lord these days. But Jesus said the servant follows the master. You're to follow me, and where I am, you serve me. In 1 Thessalonians 1:9, it says, they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And so these Thessalonians, man, they used to serve idols, and they would go down to their idolatrous temples, and they'd offer their sacrifices that cost them money, and they'd spend their time, and they'd pray to these false gods, and that was their service to idols.
And Paul said, now you got saved and now you come to church and you serve the Lord. You see, a transition is a flip from serving idols to serving the one true and living God. Now that was a lot of scripture, but it has one theme. God's people serve Him. God's people serve Him. All of our responsibilities and obligations and requirements are summed up in the statement that we are to serve the Lord. So what am I doing tonight? I'm serving God. Amen. What are you doing tonight? You're serving God. You're here in God's house. And I know some of you love football. And if the Super Bowl was on a Monday night or a Saturday night, I'd be home watching it. I like football too. In fact, Joe doesn't believe this, but when I was a kid, the Cowboys were actually pretty good. They won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. And you know what? But there came a point in my life where I said, you know what? Serving God on Sundays is more important than watching a football game. And it doesn't matter who the team is. That is my conviction, that I serve God. And I'm not going to compromise and flip it around and say, oh, we'll just have our service in the afternoon. It has nothing to do with the Super Bowl. Give me a break. Let's be honest with God. Okay? And I know, well, I'll just move on. But I'm serving God. You're serving God here tonight also. God's people in the Old Testament were to serve Him. They were not to serve other gods. They were not to serve heathen gods. They were not to serve their own self-interest. They were not to follow the ways and customs of the heathen, but were to serve God. And God's people in the New Testament are to serve Him. We don't serve idols of stone and wood. We also don't serve idols made out of green paper with dollar signs. We don't serve self. We don't serve sin. We don't serve idols. We don't serve the world. We don't serve our own self-interest. We serve God. Why? Because we're born-again people and we're God's people and He deserves our service. If we say we are followers of Christ, then let us follow Him and serve Him where He is. So how do we develop this concept in our minds that God just serves us? All these scriptures in the Bible about us serving God, and yet somehow we've developed the concept that God is here to serve us. That God just follows us around and blesses us no matter what we're doing and whether we're serving Him or not. Have you ever considered why we call these hours of church assembly services? I've given it thought. Why don't we call them meeting times? Why don't we call it church time? We call it service times. The idea that many have is, this is the time that I come and the church pastor and leadership serve me. Can I tell you that's the opposite of what it's supposed to be? Service times is when God's people come together to serve Him. Now we serve each other because we're serving Him. And the modern concept, and I've said this a lot lately, don't complain about the commercialization of the church if we come to church and act like customers. We're not customers and we're not consumers. We are worshipers. We are Christians. We're born again people. We are members, but we are not customers. But what is church hopping? Well, I don't like how I'm being treated here, so I'm going to go shop over there. And they enjoy the honeymoon for about a year, and then they get upset there, and they go to another church. They enjoy the honeymoon there as the new members, and they get upset, and they go to another church. This church over here is having a discount on their tithes. Tithes only 3.5%. I'm in. And we have to be real careful. Our attitude towards church. When we have visitors, we want to be welcoming and loving. And it's sometimes, frankly, these days it is hard to know the balance between being friendly and overwhelming of the visitors. I saw this when we would go on vacation and go to church and got to where we didn't want to get in the service until about right as it's starting because otherwise, you're giving folks all your information 20 times, you know, why are you here, where are you from, where are you going, and you over and over. And it's a fine line between making folks feel welcome and just making them feel overwhelmed. But what our attitude is not is, hey, we're for sale, we sure want to make a good impression because we want you to come back and give us your money. That's not how the church is supposed to operate. Here's how some people think the church is, and I need a volunteer for this. Thank you, Aiden. The Aiden. Here's how people, come on over on this side, here's how people sometimes, not you perhaps, but a lot of folks, when they go to church, and here's how the church's attitude, it's spa church. Oh, we're so glad you're here. Well, let's put on this nice fluffy bathrobe. There you go, Aiden. And go ahead and kick your shoes off, Aiden, because we got spa. Go ahead and tie your belt. Just kick them off. We know all boys just kick their shoes off. They never tie. Whoa. Here, put these on fast. And man, he's so... go ahead and tie your belt. Put on your slippers. Tie your belt around you. Just have a seat. We're going to take good care of you today. And let me massage your ego a little bit. And now take your glasses off. I looked in the gym for cucumbers. Couldn't find any. So we got... go ahead and put your head back. I got some celery to put on his eyes. Doesn't that feel good? I found pickles, but I thought those might burn. So he's got celery on his eyes, and we're just here to make you feel good, Aiden. And you know, and so he's done now, and he gets to leave church, and boy, his ego's been massaged, and he's all relaxed, and he got his little PowerPoint for tomorrow's, and you know, and but he, you know, but he's not, certainly hasn't felt any conviction. He's not being challenged on anything. He's being pandered to. The church doesn't pander. The church calls people to repentance and to live for God. We love people, but not because we're trying to get things from them. We love them because God loves them, not because we're trying to build the biggest church in town. Pretty comfortable? Not the slippers, though. Well, please come again, though. Yes, please come back again. All right, so you can go and sit down. You can wear the bathrobe if you want to. But I do want it back because it was kind of expensive. Now, so we have to have, you know, ourselves, myself. Service time. What is it? I have come to serve God. And when we have visitors, we love them, we want them to feel welcome. But we're not selling the church. The church is represented as a woman. And Revelation 17 tells us about a church that was for sale. The whore of Babylon. We're not that church. And so it's important for us, when we come to church also, to not to expect our ego to get all massaged and us to be pandered to. All we should come to church with the attitude is, let's sing the songs of Zion, let's pray together, and let someone preach the Bible to us and fellowship with God's people and have an opportunity where we can serve God and give and worship the Lord. That should be our attitude and our desire in church. Amen. So a service time is when we come together to serve the Lord. Now, why does a church even have services and ministries? You know how much easier things could be if we had less going on? We could go to one service a week. I could prepare one sermon a week. I heard a guy complaining. I read it online, actually. He's been in the ministry for 4 years, and he said, man, the grind of sermon preparation. I mean, it's just beating me down for that one sermon on Sunday morning every week, 52 weeks of the year. And I thought, poor fellow, one sermon a week. You know, whereas independent Baptists that are really preaching and having services, you got Sunday school and three services and oftentimes pre-services and stuff. And, you know, it is a wearisome thing. Study is a wearisomeness of the flesh. But you know, it'd be a lot easier. But you know what? The Bible tells us so much the more, not so much the less as you see the day approaching. And it'd be easier not to have a bus ministry. It'd be easier not to have soul winning. It'd be easier not to have pre-services. It'd be easier not to have a choir practice. Be easier not to pass the offering plates. Just put a box in the back. Be easier if we just, instead of having so much time spent in practicing specials and playing them live on instruments, just pop a CD in. And we can have some comedy too, because when those often go wrong. It's like I was at a meeting recently and they had their sound system and we used to call it canned music because it came in these big boxes you punched. And then went to tapes and then CDs and now it's all digital. And this guy, the guy was leading the song and he had it on his iPad so that he could push the button and the music would start. And so he pushed the button and the wrong song started. And it took them about a minute to figure that out. So they had to pull it out again and stop and find the right one and punch that one in. We could do that. Sound like karaoke night? Be a lot easier. Folks, we have to have the attitude, folks, that easy is not our goal. Right is our goal. Best is our goal. Honoring God and serving Him is our goal. Not just what is easiest for the flesh. If it's easy for the flesh, it's probably wrong. If it's hard on the flesh, it's probably right. We don't need to put our flesh in a fluffy bathrobe. Our flesh needs to be crucified. And so, but when we have the attitude of, hey, we're all here to be served instead of to serve the Lord, it'll affect our priorities. And I think a lot of churches have really, they are pandering to their people, trying to make everything so convenient that they're losing all their distinctiveness in canceling services and getting rid of Sunday school and just pandering to try to make a certain set of people happy. Folks, if we're independent Baptists, let us stand for what independent Baptists have always stood for. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Amen. So I'll move on from that now. But we are the priesthood of believers, and that means active, lifelong service to God. Now, you can look at your service to God in one of two ways. You can look at it as a burden to be borne, or a privilege. A privileged burden or a wearisome burden. I almost preached from Malachi 1 tonight about how God rebuked the priests because they're just going, 100 years after Haggai and then rebuilt the temple, and 100 years later, the priests are offering inferior sacrifices and they're saying, oh, what a weariness it is to serve the Lord. I'm not even going to shut the doors for naught. I'd be like Brother Parks back there saying, well, I'll guard the door for you, Pastor, for $20 a week, but I'm doing it for nothing. Of course he wouldn't have that attitude. I'll teach Sunday school, Pastor, but I ain't going to do it for nothing. So, this attitude of what's in it for me, and it becomes a grievous thing to us. Like, it might be our attitude tonight. Yeah, my parents make me come, or I just have to be here, but man, in my heart, I'm kind of resentful of the fact that I have to be here tonight. That can develop in our hearts. Or we can see it as a privilege to serve the Lord. That is sometimes tiresome, but still a privilege. I think about the priests in the Old Testament and the Levites. They got to serve in the temple all year long, serve in the house of God. And then seven times a year, the feast times, all the other folks would come up to the, and they're just so excited to go to the temple, you know. And there's some shepherd boy like David was out in the fields tending these dirty, stinky sheep. And he looks over towards Jerusalem to see the temple gleaming in the distance and think, man, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And several times a year, that shepherd boy gets to leave his fields behind and go to the house of God. And here are the priests saying, oh, what a weariness it is to have to serve the Lord. Tonight I want to speak on some things it's going to take to serve God. Number one, it's going to take time. It's going to affect your schedule. If you get really serious about living for the Lord, you're going to have to stop penciling God into your calendar and start putting Him in ink. Chisel it in. It takes time to actively serve the Lord. Time is the most precious commodity I have. I can lose all my money and earn it back. Or earn replacement. When time's gone, time's gone. So to give God an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours tonight is a sacrifice that is pleasing to Him. Amen. And but it does affect your schedule. It is going to take time to serve the Lord. If you're really active, you're going to be Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Unless there is some providential hindrance to be really active. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, some of us are going to go soul winning, some of us are going to be bus visiting. We're going to show up for revival meetings. We're going to stay late for things. We're going to come early for things. It will affect your time. So, oh, preacher, I just don't have enough time for all that. We all have the same amount of time. You know, and we have to put God into our schedule and leave Him there. Number two, it'll take toil. It's going to affect your energy. Jesus said in Matthew 9:8, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. God needs laborers, not supervisors and spectators. People that will actually get in and do the work that is required for the harvest. God tells us to pray for more laborers. You know, it bothers me that so many people have the attitude, we definitely don't want to make sure that our kids don't accidentally get called to the ministry. We should be praying for people to be called into the ministry. And instead of trying so hard to make sure that it doesn't happen, we need laborers in the harvest. And in a real church, there's work to be done. Sometimes it's not glorified work. It's not fun work. But it needs to be done. You know. I used to watch some of these old shows, and Hollywood never gets church right, never gets God right. And you always have like Mayberry, USA on a Sunday morning. You know, and church lets out, and here's all these nicely dressed people just kind of walking down this main street, you know, and everyone's relaxed, and you know, and they went to church, and now they're just heading home. And I'm thinking, I've been in church almost 30 years. I don't think I've ever had a Sunday like that. I mean, you go to church, you're teaching Sunday school, you're involved in stuff, you're driving a bus, you're helping in the nursery, you're preaching, you know, you're serving, you're leading the music, you're in the choir, and you go home and you throw lunch together, and it's not sit back and relax on Sunday if you're really serving the Lord. There's going to be a lot of activity and a lot of energy expended. It will take toil to serve God actively. Number three, it's going to take treasure. It will affect your budget. It'll take treasure. It will affect your budget. David said, I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Remember when he was going to buy that threshing floor? So that was going to be the place where the temple would be built. And Araunah said, no, I'll just give it to you. And David said, no, I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So Araunah said, oh, don't worry about it, king. I'll give you the piece of ground, and here's the oxen for your sacrifice. And David's like, well, if you gave it to me, it wouldn't be my sacrifice, would it? I pay for my own sacrifices. And so a lot of folks, they want to come to church as long as it doesn't cost them anything, as long as everyone else is willing to put up the tithes and offerings. And that's not how I want to be. Now, when you serve the Lord, it's going to take gas, wear and tear on your car, camps, special offerings, love offerings. But serving God's going to affect your budget. Amen. Tithes and offerings. You know, and get your giving report back and say, oh, I gave that much to the Lord. Praise God. You know. Now, if you're carnal, you think, man, I could have bought this with that or that with that instead of serving the Lord. A friend of mine got saved many years ago, and I knew him after he got saved, but he said, man, after I got saved, tithing wasn't a problem. I was spending so much money not going to the honky-tonks and buying beer. The tithe was less than I used to spend on all that stuff. I stopped doing that stuff, and I turned around and started giving it to God. That's pretty good. Number four, it'll take dealing with trouble. It will affect your peace. I hate to tell you this, but serving God is going to bring trouble into your life. Every church we know of in the New Testament had trouble. Everyone. Oh, if we could just get back to the apostolic church, everything would be perfect. The apostolic church had nothing but trouble. Persecution on the outside, false teachers on the inside. Nothing but trouble. Splits, schisms, fighting, the Corinthian church, and what a mess it was. Diotrephes type people. There are always problems and troubles in churches. And churches, you know, if you're in a church for quite a long time, you may have to face up to some trouble that sometimes affects the church from outside or sometimes from inside. Now, I do think that there are times when the best thing is to get out of some churches because the problems are not just problems, they are foundational issues that are not being dealt with. That's one thing. Systemic problems that are, because of the leadership, is not the same as dealing with some trouble that sometimes comes and the leadership is trying to deal with it the right way. Being a Christian will sometimes bring personal problems, contentions. You know, not everyone in your life may appreciate your dedication to the Lord. I still remember the couple that came to church here because she wanted to get the family back in church and he didn't want to go, but he came with her and then he got saved and then he wanted to come to church all the time and she was like, I didn't want to get that involved. And I said then, I said, sometimes people, they don't mind if you get saved. They just don't want you to get that saved. Sometimes there is contention with your parents, your in-laws, when you're grown. They don't think your kids ought to do that, and they think you're robbing your kids of their childhood and keeping them from all the fun they ought to have. Sometimes it's problems at work. I mean, all kinds of problems can come in your life because you're serving God. And that's why you've got to stay in, and sometimes you have to tough things out, and you got to bear your cross, and you have to get through tough times because it is going to bring some trouble that might affect your peace of mind. Number five, it's going to take toughness. It will affect your character. Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If you want to serve God, you're going to have to tough out some tough times. It's not always going to be fun to serve the Lord. Amen. And I got to tell you, this morning, I did not want to be here. I'd be honest, I was in the pits feeling terrible. But, you know, just came and taught and preached. Went home, got a little rest, came back tonight. I'm not saying that's, you know, like a soldier in the battle. I'm just saying it's not always easy. Sometimes you just have to suck it up and do what you're supposed to do. And have some toughness. Everything's not going to be easy. Sometimes you have to serve God when your flesh says, stay home and go to sleep. And you say, no. I'm not really sick. I'm not contagious. I just don't feel like it, but I'm going to go do what I'm supposed to do. Toughing out tough times is what develops our character. It's not always going to be easy. We sometimes have to endure things. Number six, it'll take tenderness. It will affect your heart. Jude said, if some have compassion, making a difference. If you're really going to be involved in church, you have to care about more than yourself. People say this, and you know, Texas is covered with churches, and yet Texas is ignorant of the Bible. It is sad. I heard someone say today, well, some people they're closer to God on the lake on Sunday than they are in church. That's the whole it's all about me attitude. Well, so what if you're more comfortable on the lake? Then what's that have to do with serving God? Huh? It's all about you? What about all those commandments about loving one another and helping one another and bearing one another's burdens and carrying out the Great Commission and all these things that God tells us to do as a church family? But that has nothing... Well, I can sit on the lake. Are you giving your tithes and offerings on the lake? Are you singing God's songs on the lake? Are you encouraging any other Christians on the lake? Are you giving attendance to preaching out on the lake? Are you encouraging other Christians out on the lake? No, you're sitting out there on the lake because you like nature, but you don't want to be involved in the responsibilities of an actual church family. See? And if you're a part of an actual church family, you've got to learn to stop thinking about just your 18, 22 inches of pew and the one next to you and think about other people and caring about them. And that means you have to have a tenderer heart. And a lot of folks don't want to do that. Because when you open your heart to people, you can get hurt. And you will get hurt. You will get hurt. We, you know, as a church, we have people in church that we love and they move. You think, man, I'm never going to be close friends again. They just move away. We have people in church that we love and they die. We have people in church that we love and they drop out. We have kids that ride our bus or come to church and you invest in them and you spend time and prayer in them and then their family moves. You think, man, I'm not going to put my heart out like that again. That hurts. We have to keep a tender heart and be willing to keep putting it out there and bear the heartaches that come. We can't close ourselves off and say, I'm not going to let anyone ever hurt me again. I'm just going to live for myself. Because that is not actually serving the Lord. Serving God means I have to be willing to bear the burdens and help other people, even if sometimes it leads in the end to discouragement or disappointment. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Isn't that amazing? Corinthians. He wrote them one long epistle. They got some things right, but there is still a faction in the church. He's not even a real apostle. You know, and Paul was saying, you know what? The more I love you, the less you love me back, but I'm still very glad to spend for you. feel very glad to spend for you. And the more you love, the more I love you, the less I'm loved. But then he said, but be it so. Even though my love for you is bringing nothing back but heartache for me, but be it so, I'm still going to keep spending and investing and trying to help your church. Folks, that's a Christ-like heart. And as we grow in grace, that should be our desire, to be more like Christ. But it's going to cost us tenderness of heart. It will affect your heart. You have to let it affect your heart if you're going to have a long-term service for God. It's not just me and God. It's me and God and all God's people. That's the Christian life. And we have to be willing to accept that, understand that, that it's not just all about me and God. It's me and God, which ought to affect me and everybody else. I hope I'm making sense this evening. I think we've come so far away from the New Testament truths on these matters that we're so self-centered, and we've got to get over that if we're ever going to be more like Christ. Well, serve the Lord with gladness. It's not always easy, but it's always right. And sometimes we're in control of our own attitude about it. Sometimes we don't feel well and that affects us. But you know what? A lot of times we just don't come to church with the attitude, you know, I'm going to serve God with gladness today. Instead, sometimes we just kind of come in and we bellyache and resent it even. But you and I ought to have the attitude of we serve the Lord gladly. I don't know if God is pleased when we serve Him and we're not glad about it. It's almost like, I know in Malachi He wasn't. What a weariness it is. He said, you polluted my name and my altar, polluted my offerings. Your attitude, just weariness it is. You treat your governor better than me. You treat your boss at work better than me. God's not pleased with that. Well, I'm glad you're here this evening. I'm glad you serve the Lord. And a lot of these things I'm preaching to God are for people that aren't here. But it's encouragement to us that, hey, if we're going to serve God, we've got to do... I mean, this is what it's going to cost us. And we need to be willing to pay the price. Thank God I don't have to pay the price for salvation, but there is a price to pay if I'm going to serve the Lord with my life. Amen.